Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 15, instructions to civilized humans, text 26. Yasya saksat bhagavati. Jnana-dipa-pade guru. Marcha-saddi-shutantasya. Sarvam-kunjara-shuchava. Translation. The spiritual master should be considered to be directly the Supreme Lord because he gives transcendental knowledge for enlightenment. Consequently, for one who maintains the material conception that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, everything is frustrated. His enlightenment and his Vedic studies and knowledge are like the bathing of an elephant. Purport. It is recommended that one honor the spiritual master as being on an equal status with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shaksatarit Vinasamastra Shastra. This is enjoined in every scripture. Acharya mam vijaniyat. One should consider the Acharya to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In spite of all these instructions, if one considers the spiritual master an ordinary human being, one is doomed. His study of the Vedas and his austerities and penances for enlightenment are all useless, like the bathing of an elephant. An elephant bathes in a lake quite thoroughly, but as soon as it comes on the shore, it takes some dust from the ground and strews it over its body. Thus there is no meaning to the elephant's bath. One may argue by saying that since the spiritual master's relatives and the men of his neighborhood consider him an ordinary human being, what is the fault on the part of the disciple who considers the spiritual master an ordinary human being? This will be answered in the next verse, but the injunction is that the spiritual master should never be considered an ordinary man. One should strictly adhere to the instructions of the spiritual master, for if he is pleased, certainly the Supreme Personality of God is pleased. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada yasya prasada nagati puto pi. The spiritual master is to be considered as good as the Supreme Lord and must be treated in that way. But the spiritual master is not the Supreme Lord. The spiritual master is by no means as powerful as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is omniscient. He is present everywhere. He knows everything. The Supreme Lord knows everything that goes on in the heart of every living being. He knows the thoughts of every creature. I mean, imagine. And that's a lot of thoughts. And he can separate them also. He can keep track and imagine that everyone's thoughts would be mixing. Yeah, I mean, we would get confused who's thinking what. But the Supreme Lord, he is omniscient, all-knowing. The spiritual master is not omniscient. The spiritual master, he may know or he may not know what we think. It depends. It depends what Krishna reveals. Sometimes devotees felt that Prabhupada knew everything they thought. Just look right through them. Of course, the spiritual master can understand at a glance. He can understand what is the nature of material conditioning. And he can see how the living being is conditioned by the material energy. Because it shows in our behavior, and the behavior leaves results. Yeah, it shows. Somebody is into money, it shows. And it shows. He'll have some expensive things, you know what I mean? Everything is emanating money. It's easy to see. And then we see the smile. Yeah. Which is false. Right? It's a false smile. A smile that's just like... I love your money smile. not you. I mean, it's immediately, it's visible, right? There's too much smile. Right? You just look normal. So in this way, he can see very deep at a glance. Just on the outside, he can see. Maybe he can see deeper. Maybe he can see what is in the heart. And maybe Krishna just controls him. Maybe he is acting as an instrument of Krishna and will just say the right thing at the right time. But he may not even know that it is the right thing at the right time. But it's just what Krishna inspires him to say. In this way, the spiritual master, he is the via media of Krishna. He's the instrument of Krishna. The mercy of Krishna comes through the spiritual master, and the service that we are rendering, we're rendering it to the spiritual master, and in that way it goes back up to Krishna. Krishna is in that way using the spiritual master. Therefore, when we're serving Krishna, it's not that we just choose from a menu, like, well, what service shall I do for Krishna today? Well, something authorized, of course. Let me see. Not in that way. Not in that way. But rather in the way that as the spiritual master chooses. Because in that way we become servant. In that way we are servant of Krishna. Sometimes I make the joke that in the beginning we're not such good servants and we practice on the spiritual master. And then when we become better, then we can serve Krishna directly. It's like, it's not always easy to be served. It can be an ordeal. Of course, my servant on the other is very expert. that's another thing. But so the spiritual master himself, although he is accepting to be treated as the direct representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satsat Dalitvim Samasta Sastra, as good as God, he never thinks himself that he is as good as God. He doesn't see himself as good as God. As soon as he starts thinking, well, I am as good as God, then he's in deep trouble. The spiritual master, he sees himself as a fallen soul. The spiritual master, he sees himself as, I am somehow or other trying. I'm trying to be a good instrument and I'm falling short in so many ways. But others don't see like that. They don't confirm it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you are falling short in many ways, but anyway, you're trying. Yeah. No, that would be this attitude of Guru Sundara Matir, seeing him like an ordinary human being. Because he's an empowered human being. Yes, still a human being, of course. Still having the limitations of human existence. Limited in strength. How many kilos can one lift? It's not that the spiritual master can lift Govardhan Hill. He cannot, you know, like even his suitcase may be too much for him. like that, the spiritual master is limited in strength like any other human being. The spiritual master may be limited in age, limited in health. He looks like vulnerable and frail. The spiritual master has also senses like everything else. And the senses are described as basically faulty. The senses are as we know, are not perfect instruments. And we see things and mistake it for something else. We hear things and it sounds, that sounds like a mouse. No, it's not a mouse. It's just something else that peeps. Right? The senses are like that. We hear one thing and we mistake it for another. Everyone has that all the time. But the spiritual master is perfect and he doesn't make mistakes. How is this? So this issue became a very bewildering issue to the devotees in the early days of ISKCON. It was like, okay, the guru is perfect, he's completely transcendental, and there are no mistakes. Yeah. But then Prabhupada was on the beach, and he pointed, and he said, look, a scorpion. And everyone saw it was a crab. Whoa. If he can make this mistake, then he can also make other mistakes. So this issue, you know, can the spiritual master make mistakes, became like a bigger and bigger question. And finally, a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, and he said, can the guru make mistakes? And Prabhupada said, no, he doesn't make mistakes. He said, no, but like sometimes it seems that he mistakes one thing for another. So it looks like he's making mistakes. No, the spiritual master cannot make mistakes. No, but then, what when he mistakes one thing for another? That is material. That is material. When it is said that the spiritual master doesn't make any mistake, it basically means that he always gives transcendental knowledge. He always points to his pure devotional service to Krishna. Not going to make a mistake about that. But other mistakes, material mistakes, yes, sometimes you hear that Prabhupada quoted a verse wrong. You know, we have the verse in front of us from the Bhagavad Gita, and we can see wrong word, wrong detail. Even sometimes it seems that some mistakes are there that are not just typing errors, but some error that he remembered a detail of the philosophy wrong. It seems like that. Like in the Nature of Devotion, there is a particular thing about Raganuga Bhakti and Ragatmika Bhakti. And the Ragatmika Bhaktas are the eternal associates of the Lord, and those who follow them, like Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda and so on, those who follow them are the Ragatmika means those who are absorbed in transcendental attachment, and then those who follow them are called the Raga Anuga. Anuga means to follow. And Radha means attachment. So, in the Nectar of Devotion, where one thinks it should say Ragatmika, it says Raganuga. These are the Raganuga devotees. Then when you look at the same passage in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the same verses are actually translated from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then you see that it's translated with Ragatmika. Right? There, and that is in line with what Rupa Goswami writes. He uses Ragatmika in the Sanskrit. So you see, some mistake, you know, he just speaks it in the dictaphone and he just said, okay, Ragatmika instead of Ragatmika. Things like that happen. But that's not a mistake. That's not a mistake, because the instruction about pure devotional service is there. That is the essence. So, therefore, the sayings of the pure devotees are without mistake, because they're always pointing us to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another example I can give is Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami. They were they had a different point of view on a particular philosophical matter than Sridhar Swami, the commentator of the Bhagavatam. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu endorsed Sridhar Swami's commentary, but Sridhar Swami is talking every day of Brahma is divided up in manvantars, or periods that the manus live. And it's said there are 14 manus in a day of Brahma, which gives them, in one day of Brahma, has 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas. And if there are 14 manus in a day of Brahma, that gives them 71 cycles of 4 yugas. And that is called a manvantar. There are 14 manvantars in a day of Brahma. So it is Sridhar Swami is speaking about a dissolution after each manvantar, namely an inundation of the universe, and that everything will go underwater. And he is saying that it's not always the case. Sometimes it's the case and sometimes it's not the case. And then Jiva Goswami, he comes with evidence that it is always the case. And then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur adds some evidence to that. So they are both in disagreement with the previous Acharya, which is kind of like, but is then the parampara not bona fide? Because isn't it supposed to be that in the chain of the cyclic succession, one spiritual master perfectly assimilates the information of his guru and then carries it forward without change, no change. And that if there is a change, that then immediately the chain of the cyclic succession is broken. Isn't it like that? Relax, hold your horses, calm down, don't get overheated, it's okay. Just on a little detail, a whole inundation of the whole universe, you call that a detail? I mean, I call that a big thing, you know? I mean, that's a big flood. So it's just a detail. There are so many universes, and so in time is going on, and you know, maybe we can't know everything. That we can't know everything. Even the great acharyas, right? They could make a mistake on some detail. It really doesn't matter. Because the essence is there. It is about pure devotional service to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. God is a person. He's not only energy, he's also a person. And that's what it's all about. And he has likes and dislikes, like you and me. And therefore, we have to begin to understand what it is. And the more we begin to understand his likes and dislikes, we begin to see that he is kind and merciful, that he is wise, that he is the well-wisher of all living beings, that he is designed everything for the upliftment of every living being. And the dedicated spiritual master just becomes part in that greater plan and is fully dedicated to bring every living being closer to the Supreme Lord, closer to that knowledge, and so on. And therefore, there's no mistake, because every of his actions is always directed at that. There's never a moment that he's not engaged in bringing people closer to Krishna's lotus feet. Therefore he's perfect. And therefore his writings are perfect, even if imperfectly composed. Tatvakrisargo chanataka viplo yasmin pratisloka maladavadi api namani anantasya yasongitani yas shimvanti krinanti kayanti sarva. That the writings that glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such writings are perfect. They are heard and sung by men who are thoroughly honest, even if there may be faults in the composition. Yeah, they are considered to be perfect, like that. So you see the point, right? How we should see that the spiritual master is always transcendentally situated. And there's a famous story how Prabhupada in America was interviewed, and the interviewer asked, "So I heard that the guru is perfect, Prabhupada." Yeah. "And I heard that he knows the answer to all questions, Prabhupada." "Yes." And then the interviewer asked, "Then how many windows in the Empire State Building?" And Prabhupada said, "How many drops of water in a mirage?" So, you know, the mirage, when we are in the desert, you sometimes see water, but there is no water. So, how many windows in the Empire State Building? "How many drops of water in a mirage?" That was Prabhupada's answer. Bang! No waiting period, nothing. "How many windows in the Empire State Building?" Immediately, bang! "How many drops of water in a mirage?" Bang! And the interviewer was like, "Ah." And Prabhupada just basically told him, "Your whole Empire State Building is just an illusion." You know what I mean? And in this way, he exposed the whole thing. He didn't exactly answer the question in the way the man expected. He answered it more perfect. Yeah? Because instead of saying how many, what the number was, he exactly went to the root of the whole thing. Boom, finished Empire State Building. Next question, please. Prabhupada was invited in London, and in London you have the Mensa Club, and the Mensa Club is a club for super intelligent people. You have to have an IQ of at least 148 to come in the door, and it's not easy to score 108 on an intelligence test. You know, let's see if any of us can do it. I doubt it. I mean, the square hole in the round block and things like that, you know what I mean? Or was it the square block in the round hole? So it's difficult, yes. In the Mensa Club, Prabhupada was invited by a secretary who sort of wanted to have a discussion with him. The man was a lawyer and So Prabhupada began to explain the example from the Vedic literature, that one should not pour the water on the leaves of the tree, but one should pour the water on the root. Yeah? And in this way, Prabhupada is exclaiming, and then the man, sort of with a devious look on his face, says that, like, Swamiji, I beg to disagree, because actually you can pour water on leaves and make a delicious beverage called tea. That was really stupid, wasn't it? I mean, you know, they got it. And it went on like that, and then there was another guest who was also not a real member, and this guest was trying to show how intelligent he was. So at one point our lawyer says, Prabhupada gives the example of, he said, well, there is, just as there is the sun, the sunny side and the shadow side, yeah, in the same way there is Krishna and there is Maya. There is Krishna consciousness and the illusory energy of this world. And then the man again says, well, I beg to disagree, because actually there is no shadow side to the sun. It is light on all sides, and the shadow is only there from the perspective of the observer. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's what I mean. And then the guest is saying, well, I really think, the other guest, I really think that point that you made makes a lot of sense. You know, he's trying to show that he's so smart that he understood what the man said. I'm also intelligent. So you're listening to the whole thing. Then at the end of the conversation, the man says, well, Swamiji, that was a wonderful debate. Yeah, that was a really wonderful debate. He was into a debate. And then he says, I have one more request. One more request. And the request is, would you be willing to do our test? And Brahma says, eh? Test? Test? What kind of test is that? And the man says, an intelligent test. And Brahma says, oh, intelligence? Intelligence is not very important. The man was shocked. For the first time in his life, he didn't know what to say. He was just sitting there with his mouth open, like, you know, no answer. And then Prabhupada said, we have our own test. And then I said, you have your own test? Your own test? Prabhupada said, yes, we have our own test. But what is that? Prabhupada says, we have a test to see how God conscious someone is. Bang. And that was the last word. And then he left the Mensa Club. Next question. So in this way, Prabhupada is really expert, you know. like a boxer in the ring, you know. Okay, knock out. Bang. Next. Okay. It just knocked them all out. We can really see how he was perfect, how he gave the perfect answer, because he's always pointing towards Krishna at the end. Yeah. Always, again and again, showing, teaching what it was really about, real devotional service. I mean, an IQ, you know what I mean, big brain, big head, yes, but it's not so important, actually. Your God consciousness is important. Taught the man, like a guru, taught him about Krishna, taught him that is the essence. Another journalist was asking Prabhupada, why have you come to America? Prabhupada said that to teach you what you have forgotten. Right? Things like brilliant answers, just boom, to the point, immediately. Very, very, very clear. So the spiritual master is perfect because he is dedicated to Krishna. And the etymological meaning of the word guru is heavy. So there's some personality sitting on the Vyasa side. That's a heavy dude, you know. Okay, guys, get your act together. All this sense gratification. You're just attached to material things, you know. When are you going to get serious about Krishna consciousness? Is that the meaning of guru is heavy? Sometimes, maybe, but not necessarily. Not necessarily. The meaning of guru is heavy is that guru is so heavy, so ultimately heavy, that you cannot move him from his position. He stays fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Yeah, that's why he's heavy. You know, I mean, all others are light. You know what I mean? Light is like da-di-da-di-da. What was that? So I was a light, you know, like sometimes just shaken on the path, sometimes a little pushed like a boat, pushed out of its course by the wind, sometimes, yes. But the spiritual master is heavy, he's there at the feet of Krishna, and, you know, time goes by, and he hasn't changed. He's still there, right? Still serving Krishna, still talking about Krishna, still chanting Hare Krishna, right? And so many things have happened to you. I mean, oh my God, I didn't see you for a long time. Yeah, that was a long time. Well, you know, wait, you know, so many things have happened. Yeah, and in the course of that, yeah, Krishna. Well, you know, I mean, no, I'm still into it, but, you know, I mean, things have changed a bit. But with the spiritual master, nothing has changed. Nothing. Completely nothing. Just the same. And that makes everything, that is a great relief, you know, that there is someone who's still just doing it. Yeah. And there's just someone who's just still a devotee, and someone who's just still chanting Hare Krishna, and someone who just didn't change. And that makes it like we find shelter at his lotus feet. You know? It's not about, is he the greatest intellectual on the planet? Can he? Oh, he can quote more verses than anybody else. Maybe not, you know. Can he explain, you know, the most complicated philosophy and the most amazing thing? Does he know most stories, you know? My guru is senior to your guru. Because my guru, he was a very close associate of Prabhupada, whereas your guru, he joined much later. Therefore, you know, my guru. But my guru was longer in Vrindavan than your guru. And that's why he's more rustic than your guru. But my guru, you know, my guru is an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada said, you know, but my guru, he knows the entire Bhagavad Gita by heart. Very nice. Well, I mean, I guess on this one, it speaks for itself. Yeah. It speaks for itself. This is kindergarten. Yeah. That's all I'll say about it. Kindergarten. You know, my father is a policeman. Oh, wow. Comedy capers, you know. We are not taking it too serious, these things. So it's not the external. My guru is skinny. Well, mine is fat. Yes, that doesn't matter. Right? Mine is tall. Mine is short. It is mentioned that one should not judge the spiritual master by his external appearance. One should simply see he is fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. And therefore, by connecting with him, we also be fixed, because he's always there. So anytime we connect to him, we're automatically also connected to the feet of Krishna. Automatically. Yeah. Oh, we're connecting to the spiritual master. Yeah, before you know it, you're going to be doing something for Krishna. It is like that because all his activities are connected to Krishna. He's joking, he's laughing with you, he's just playing around, but you know, before you know it, with all the playing and the joking, suddenly you're doing service for Krishna. That's what's happening, because he's all the way to Krishna, and he may be joking a bit on the way to Krishna. Prabhupada was making jokes. You know, it's not that Prabhupada was always just very serious. Not at all. Prabhupada was light and playful sometimes. But he remained a teacher. When in Mayapur, you know, Bhavananda tried to help Prabhupada. There was the terrain was a bit rough and there was a ditch, and he tried to offer a hand for Prabhupada to step over it. And Prabhupada just, instead of taking his hand, pushed him, and hard, you know, quite hard, pushed him hard. And then he stepped alone over the ditch, and then he stood on the other side of the ditch, and he says, "This is the impersonalist." Yeah. He takes the knowledge of the guru, and then he pushes him away. So Prabhupada's teaching, he's thinking about it. How do I train them? How do I prepare them? How do I make them stronger? And he asked all his leaders, "Are you convinced?" And he looked them deep in the eye, and they all looked at the ground. It wasn't so easy. And then in the final days, there was that whole thing. Prabhupada was lying in his bed, and he was, he just couldn't eat, and it's just like, you know, he decided that there's no point to prolong life. And he decided to fast. So they came and they just requested him. But Prabhupada, please. And Prabhupada said, "No, it's up to Krishna. It's up to Krishna." He said, "Okay, we pray to Krishna." And then later Prabhupada said, "Well, actually Krishna leaves it up to me whether I stay or leave in this world." Then they came back and said, "Prabhupada, please stay. Prabhupada said, "You want me to stay?" He said, "Prabhupada, please stay." "All right, bring some juice." And he had some juice. And then, you know, Prabhupada had this desire to go around Govardhan. And he said, they wanted to go around Govardhan. And then Lokanath Maharaj had this program of going to the villages in India with a bullock cart. And Prabhupada said, "Oh, this is such a nice program, you know, Padayatra, basically. You're walking from village to village with a bullock cart and Harinam the whole way. This is the real life. This is the real life. Such a nice program. The bullock cart is so nice." He said, "Like, yes, I want to go on the bullock cart around Govardhan." Well, he said, and some devotees said, "Haribol." And other devotees said, "Horrible." I mean, he's dying. How can he go on a bullock cart? You know, a bumping bullock cart. He's gonna die in this bullock cart. This is impossible. No. But so there was the point, but the pure devotee, he never makes mistakes. He knows what he wants. He's transcendental. "Prabhu, we can't disobey the order of the Guru." So Lokanath Maharaj preparing the bullock cart, and there was a whole group, "Yes, we must have the bullock cart." Another group, no bullock cart. Finally, a whole group of senior sannyasis came to Prabhupada's room. And Brahmananda was chosen to speak. But he couldn't do it. Kirtanan could do it. Finally,
Prabhupada said, yes, yes, you want something? Then Prabhupada just bursted out and said, Prabhupada, please, please don't go on the bull cart. Prabhupada said, oh, you don't want me to go on the bull cart? Okay, then I will not go. And everyone relieved, and then Bhavananda said, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you're driving us mad, you're driving us mad with love. Prabhupada said, that is my duty.
I know.
So nice. In this way, the spiritual master is perfect. Always trying, always trying to bring back the devotees to Krishna's lotus feet.